Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Having an out-of-body experience, eh, Red?
Fair enough.
That feels really weird.
Oh, I dropped that pencil. Will you pick it up for me?
Say, you're looking mighty fine wearing that tunic.
Hold up, Doran. We're stopping.
I can't go to my mother's. We gotta go buy a hat.
Quit being a Doran about it.
You look a lot different than how you looked before.
Oh, sorry.
I really missed my sisters.
Mari, have a sip of this wine.
I'm gonna have to see my mom.
How many fingers do you have?
Where's the bingo card?
Can't say I know how you feel. I've never been another body other than my own, but...
Well, I saw you in a crab body just a little while ago.
I mean, well, yeah, actually, you make a great point.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is Season 2, Episode 69, Hug It Out.
This week's MVP is Dippity. Dippity's nominated by a jury, and they say, I think Dippity has just recently started listening to Dice Shame, but they're a delight to see on the server, and I'm excited to see their thoughts as they catch up on more episodes. Same, jury. Same.
Congrats, Dippity, and thanks for nominating, jury.
All right, shall we play some D&D?
Yeah, let's do it.
Woo!
Oh, wait a minute. It's almost the holidays.
Aw.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and a joyous season to everyone who listens to Dice Shame. We hope you have a wonderful holiday and an amazing new year.
Yeah, happy holidays.
All right, let's do this.
What? So I don't have I told you guys about going to buy Saskatoon berries in Saskatchewan before? No.
Rob,
you never stop talking about this.
Saskatoon berries.
I love that you think I would remember that. First off,
well, you would remember it if I told you before.
I would.
Then no, you haven't.
Okay, the last time I had to buy or I bought Saskatoon berries, it was in Moose Jaw.
Hold on. Before you continue the story, I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut it off, but they're called, when I Google, they're called Saskatoon service berries.
No, they're not.
Well, that's what it says. The Saskatoon berry.
Not to me. Not in my heart.
It's just what Wikipedia. Service berry. Pacific service berry or Western service berry. Like service berry? Are these for like going to war?
War berries.
Service berries?
You want to go to war? You take some service berries.
They're only for blue collar workers.
Tell us about your service berry story.
The last time I had to do it, I was in Moose Jaw.
You had to?
Had to get these berries. How else are you going to have Saskatoon berry pie or Saskatoon berry tart?
Rob, get the berries.
So my grandma says, listen, you drive to this gas station. You go around back. You knock on the door. You say, Yvonne sent you. You hand this lady some money. She comes back with a bucket, and you take the bucket and run. That's the like procedure for getting Saskatoon berries in Moose Jaw.
You take the bucket and you run.
What happens if you walk?
I don't know if run was in there. That may be a bit of an exaggeration, but it was.
Do they take them back?
I don't know. They're precious.
Rob, these are illegal. You can't have these.
Were you just telling us a story about how you used to like transit cocaine and
what's this? Historically, the fruit has been prohibited in the 1920s.
Did you say prohibited?
Due to its psychotropic tenant.
What
are you reading? you're all over the place.
I'm just kidding. Go on.
All right, so you'd run with the pail.
Okay, that was just to set the stage for last weekend.
Right.
We were out in a corn maze, and right next to the corn maze is a Saskatoon berry farm. And we think, fuck it, we're going to go buy some Saskatoon berries.
Not unless you know Yvonne.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we give this guy a call. And he's like, yeah, we don't really have hours. Just show up and wave at us. We're right next door. So we show
up. Real local. That's cool, though.
Yeah, nice.
We wave at the guy. And he drives up on a lawnmower. And he's wearing a Saskatchewan Rough Riders hat. And he says, no, come follow me. And he takes us down into his garage. And he opens up a freezer. And it's now like, how many do you want? And it's just bags of like scrawled. But it was just the most perfectly Saskatchewan way to sell Saskatoon berries in the middle of nowhere, Ontario.
Oh, man.
But just the idea of you're going to the, and of course he drives up on a riding lawnmower with the hat and takes you to his garage. It
That's hilarious.
Clandestine.
I didn't realize Saskatoon was named after the berry. That's interesting.
And not the other way around?
Yeah. The berry came first.
Oh. Turns out.
The city of Saskatoon is named after the berry.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like Saskatoon berries too. There was a bush in my grandparents' backyard, so.
Anyways, I've got kilograms of them in my freezer now. We bought like between myself
sweet.
And my sister.
Mark. Yo, Rob.
Kilos.
Yo, give me some of those Saskatoon berries.
Yeah.
Can I buy some off you?
Like just like 500 grams or something.
Yeah, did you find this guy online? Or you just
no,
saw
no,
the
he was just right next door to the
to
we
the
went
corn
to
maze.
The a corn maze and walked through it and did whatever. And so he was just right next door there.
Those
so
kind of like homegrown ops always kind of make me feel a little bit weird. Like we have a place just up north of us that has existed since forever in my mind. And it's always been interesting because this was before obviously marijuana was legalized, but year round they have a sign on the side of the road. It's on Taunton and it says trees for sale, but trees are in air quote, like scare quotes, like it's quotes. And I'm always like, hold on.
Is this Reddit come to life? What's happening over here?
Yeah.
Well, is it just like a really obvious way of being like marijuana?
It doesn't look like a nursery.
Have you been?
No. Yeah.
It's for Christmas trees. I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, but why are they in quotes?
It's that people are dumb.
People just don't understand quotes.
Yeah, English punctuation's
hard.
Yeah,
that's probably the reason. But
people use quotes all the time for stupid shit.
I have to say, though, I'm the kind of person, I bought goose eggs off of somebody's deck.
Mm-hmm.
And you went up to buy them and they came out and punched you in the head. They're like, you got a goose egg.
You want a Hertz donut?
Yeah.
That's a punch bug. Yeah. I was walking up the street one day and there was a sign that was like eggs, and I looked and it was like eggs, duck, chicken, goose, and I was like sick. So I went home, I got some money, I jammed it in their mailbox, I opened a box on their front porch, and I took a bunch of eggs.
But you don't know which was which.
Believe me, you know by size.
It's like a pick your own, right? You want
Alex is on the front porch going duck, duck, goose.
But I made a goose egg and it's the size of an entire plate. So I put
Amazing.
The entire thing on one tortilla and then I had the worst heartburn afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. What do you mean you made a goose egg?
She laid one.
So are we going to get to try the Saskatoon berries? Is the.
Likely. We can probably make that happen.
I mean, if you got kilograms of them,
kilos.
I would be interested in having a Saskatoon berry without having to go to Saskatoon, please.
Mm-hmm.
AKA the service berry, which I relate to good berry, which is a spell in D&D.
That's right.
It's a ranger spell. They give you
Saskatoon is a good berry. I'm not going to lie.
That's from a Saskatoonite. Is that the right parlance? How do you.
I did. I'm not
Saskatchewite.
Saskatchewanian. I don't know what they call someone from Saskatoon.
Saskatoonie.
School there. Saskatoonie.
We call him Rob.
They're all Rob. You don't get out of Saskatoon without being called Rob.
Yeah. It's hard.
They're Saskatonian.
Oh, that's
really
good, yeah.
You know,
that makes sense. It's like Torontonian, Saskatoonian. Yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
Should we play some D&D?
Let's have some good berries. Let's have some Saskatoon berries.
Bring it.
It just occurred to me that the French word for corn is maize. So like
yeah.
In French, you're like a maize? Or you're probably a maize, a labyrinth.
Where is the corn maize? What is the maize?
I think everybody says that when they go to a corn maize.
Yeah.
I'd never have heard that. And that's so funny. Well,
maize.
I definitely made that joke.
All right.
Now we're ready.
Beautiful transition.
Now
you know,
we're
we should
ready.
Play some D&D.
Let's play some D&D.
Let's bring the energy way down and get sad and mad at each other.
You know what else seems to go? You know, this conversation about these Saskatoon berries just goes on and on.
The what?
The conversation about the Saskatoon berries just seems like it's going on and on. You know what else goes on and on?
What?
Our conversations in D&D.
I don't put that on all of us. I think that's
just you. You're right. Just you.
Yeah, for sure.
In charge of that.
And cut.
And scene. With a somewhat fraught post-combat debrief, our heroes seemed at odds with each other. With Jack and Mari on one side, taking care of one another's wounds, and Red and Doran cleaning up after the massacre. The reincarnation of Alistair Noggins provided another topic for inter-party conflict, and while Red took a walk to cool his head and scout the area, Mari stitched Soul back to corporeal form, though not his original body. Alistair returned to the material plane in the form of a grey dwarf, a Duergar, a creature of the Underdark. Mari and Jack, what are you doing?
I don't know what went wrong.
What do you mean what went wrong?
Look behind us. There is not a gnome. There is not a gnome behind us. There is another guy. I mean, it's still him, but he's in a different body because I did a bad job in there.
I don't know. Maybe that's just the way it works.
I don't think so. That feels really weird, but...
You just had pieces to work with.
Oh, no.
No, I mean, I'm no expert. But as soon as you start to play in the higher levels of magic and connecting to other worlds and reaching for souls and recreating bodies and stuff, there's only so much you can do to open a doorway before the things beyond want to step through it. And it's dangerous. And I mean, maybe the danger is... There's lots of things beyond that want to step through here, but there's also some choice about it. I don't know your family's traditions in and out, but I can't imagine the magic would... Like, it's not necromancy. It's not pulling someone from beyond and forcing them alive.
No.
If Alistair is having some dissonance with his body and the choice of being alive versus dead... Who knows?
The dissonance isn't his choice. It was my hubris deciding to do this. I don't know. Everything after that fight was just a big mess in my head. And so I thought I could make something right and bring him back because it was awful watching him just literally break into pieces. And then
not even given death saving throws.
Yeah, he just blew up. And it was certainly a thing to see, but it was hubris on my part because part of that magic is knowing the person. If you know them, you can bring them back, and I don't know him. I just kept grabbing at pieces, and I brought back a body that wasn't correct. I don't really know what to tell him because that's a weird discussion to have.
Yeah.
I don't know. All the magic seems wrong right now. All of it seems like a big mess.
Maybe it's being underground.
Maybe. I don't like it under here. I don't know how you live under here. I've spent my entire life in the sun, and now I've spent so much time in tunnels and underground and under chains even out in the open. It feels claustrophobic. How do you do this?
Oh, I don't love it either. It's not... You know, for a lot of my life, I've gotten up to see every sunrise, which is real challenging to do in a tunnel or in a sewer or in a hospital bed. But the last couple of months have seen a lot of those sunrises.
Yeah.
But there's another one tomorrow. And yeah, you kind of make the best of what you got. And Jack looks down at his hands. And I see a little bit of hubris written on a lot of us. It's the calendar word for today.
Yeah.
Doran turns to Red and he says, "You know, now that I think about it, I say all that, but, you know, this poor little guy's probably feeling pretty, you know, out of sorts. Having an out-of-body experience, eh, Red?"
"Yeah, we've been wrapped up in our own stuff so much, we haven't even really thought about him in the last 20 minutes or so. He must be really scared."
"I might go back and talk to him."
"Sure. Steven and I will keep leading the way to hometown."
"Yeah, it's up there somewhere. Don't rush."
"Okay."
Doran sort of drops back out of marching order and lets Mari and Jack pass by.
"Oh, yeah, I have no idea what I'm talking about."
"That's supposed to be me or them?"
"That's them."
"Dweebs."
I'll maybe take the moment to try and catch up with Red.
Doran, like, stops and pretends to tie up his, like, his
classic
adventuring
needs
boots.
A reason to break.
You like fussing with your greaves.
Yeah. "Oh, I dropped that pencil. Will you pick it up for me?"
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then he's kind of looking out the side of his eye until he sees Jack and Mary pass, and he's looking out the side of his eye until Alistair is right beside him. He stands up, looking like he's completed what he was doing down on his one knee.
"Boo!
Oh, Alistair, I didn't see you there. Say, you're looking mighty fine wearing that tunic.
Yeah.
Is it fitting you all right?"
"It's fine, Doran. Thank you again for lending it to me."
"Yeah, no problem. So, you look a lot different than how you looked before. I mean, you're a whole different person, aren't you? Or are you the same in there? Are you the same person in there? Or were you always like this, but you were hiding yourself before?"
Just taking strides to match yours, he turns to face you in the dark. This unfamiliar, dark, dwarven face with a shaved head and a white beard. Someone whose face you've only seen now twice, even though you've been adventuring with Alistair for 5 days. And he just almost pierces you with this glare.
"Nope."
And he says,
"I told you back there that I needed a little bit of time to get used to what happened. And as far as I can tell, this is me now."
Listen, I know, and I'm sorry. I'm not trying to rush you, really. But, you know, I was talking with Red up there, and I thought to myself, well, shit. Probably feeling a little out of sorts, and maybe you could just use someone to talk to."
"I don't know what to do with this body, Doran."
"What are you talking about? Look at you." And he slaps you on the back. "You look great. You look better than before."
"It's strange. My hands aren't... I don't know how I'm going to be able to hold my tools at home. And then I think about my workshop that I don't know that I'll ever go back to."
"Yeah.
You know, I've read about Drugar before, and they don't... Their skin isn't... They can't go outside, Doran, in the sunshine. I used to love going for walks in the afternoon."
Forget all that. I've heard of Drugar on the surface before. It's not that strange. It's a little uncommon, but then again... Aren't we all used to seeing uncommon things from time to time? I mean, you could always get a big hat."
Maybe you'll have to take me to a shop in Scarborough. I mean, I don't even have any fucking boots."
He kind of trudges along beside you for a minute.
"A hat shop? I can find a hat shop."
"There's a great milliner over there.
Let's go there instead of home."
"What do you think here?
Can't go to my mother's. We gotta go buy a hat.
I need to stop and tie my shoe again."
"You know where there's a great hat shop. Waterdeep."
"Let's go there."
Jack's like, "No. What if we didn't?"
Yeah.
Doran scratches his beard and kind of rubs his chin, thinking and sort of contemplating these difficult thoughts and feelings. "Listen, I can't say I know how you feel. I've never been another another body other than my own, but...
Well, I saw you in a crab body just a little while ago.
I mean... Well, yeah, actually, you make a great point. But I always knew that was temporary. You know, I don't know how temporary this is for you, and... Well, I hope it is temporary, but...
And he grabs Alistair's hand, and he looks at it, and he looks at it, and he kind of feels it, and he says,
you may not be able to control little tools the same way you used to, but I'll tell you, these are a lot stronger. And he kind of like pounds the fist and moves the fingers around. And he says, I mean, think of what you could do. I mean, I could show you how to, be a blacksmith if you're that concerned. And at the same time, I know lots of dwarves that are toy makers, and I mean, don't get down on yourself, Alistair. But tell me. No, never mind.
What?
Look.
What is it?
No.
Do you think I'm cute?
Now we're walking holding hands.
Listen, I was going to ask you if... Well, it seems stupid now. You clearly have always been a gnome, and you liked being a gnome, and I guess it was just that magic spell that seemed to change you into a dwarf like me, but don't get down on yourself. You're still you.
Yeah, thanks, Dorne. I appreciate you talking to me. I'm going to need some time, but that does make me feel better. Thank you.
Yeah. Think of it like this, too. Here's another good point. Once we get to my hometown, I mean, you know what? I think you're going to get a lot more a welcome reception than you would as a gnome. Not that we don't dislike gnomes, but heck, you're one of our kind, you know? You're a dwarf now.
Jack catches up to Red and offers you a waterskin. Thirsty?
Yeah, I suppose. He takes it very gently. Takes a drink from it. Oh, it's water.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, I'm just so used to drinking from Doran's.
Oh,
I think one of these has wine. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I hand it back, and I reach for my own wineskin. And then I hand it to you. Do you want some wine?
Oh, I went underground. Do as the dwarves do, I guess.
I love it.
And yeah, Jack tips it back. We're, you know what? It's been that kind of day. How much further do you think to Scarborough?
I don't know. Doran is miles away. His mind seems to be everywhere else but here, and I don't blame him. Here kind of sucks right now.
Yeah.
We got into it. You know how it is. Back there. When you yelled at me.
Yeah, sorry.
Hey, that's okay. I don't blame you.
I didn't mean to. Mari, come here. Red's looking hurt. Why don't you bring your staff of healing over here? Let's see if
we can... I'm not ready to talk to her. Don't bring her over here. Hi, Mari!
Mari just kind of like, she like stops and looks up, and she's, again, there's this embarrassment. She like locks eyes with Red.
And he like turns away, like nervously. Is she coming over?
Yeah, I mean...
I don't think she's coming over.
And so like she looks at Jack, and she's like, shrugs. She's like, do I? Like kind of like a, do I? Like,
yeah, look, I mean, he's frostbitten and bloody just like the rest of us. He's been hiking this way for a whole time. I bet you can help.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
No, come on. Sit in one place. Have another swig of wine. Quit being a Doran about it and let her patch you up.
A Doran?
And Mari sort of quietly walks over.
Hold up, Doran. We're stopping.
And stands next to Red. And again, there's this sort of creeping embarrassment that's kind of swept over her because the adrenaline's worn off, the anger and the other feelings that she was having previously have now started to sort of taper off, and she's now she just feels uncomfortable. And so she comes over and she just she sees Red, and she sees that he's kind of dinged up, and she takes the staff and she ever so gently just touches him with it on the shoulder. Just she does that, and she like rolls her eyes.
Like a doctor going to get a shot or
no,
something.
No, Red holds at his arm like, oh, yeah, you know, it's nothing. It doesn't need to be done, really. It's just Jack's being worrying.
It's fine. It's all right. And she does that. All right. And
and like figured maybe you were out of charges or something. Yeah. You know, you healed Jack and yourself. I figured you maybe weren't still upset at me.
And Doran and Alistair in the back are trailing up slowly.
I imagine Doran like lit a cigarette and they're like sharing a cigarette. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, ooh, I love that mental image of they're just standing there.
The two dwarves are like,
well, no, we're still walking, but slowly.
We're cool now.
Yeah.
And there's no talking between us, but I'm letting him regain his thought, and Doran lights up a cigarette, yeah, and shares it with him.
Yeah, he takes it from you.
And then, you know, looking up ahead, I see this interaction, and then I turn to Alistair and I say,
and look, they're making up. Isn't that nice? Look, he's getting healed. He was all concerned earlier about them leaving him out and him feeling like an outcast.
Quiet, Doran. They can hear you. You're like 5 feet away from us.
Oh, sorry.
He kind of laughs a little through his smile.
Red, don't take it personally. I didn't not heal you as a choice or because I didn't want to. I just was overwhelmed in the moment. Just a lot going on, and I'm still a little overwhelmed. So don't take it personally.
Is that your way of saying sorry?
Would you like me to say
yes,
sorry?
Yes, Jack did it, and he never used to do it.
I'm sorry.
Oh, don't worry about it. You're overwhelmed. I hear you.
Oh my God.
There's a lot going on in your life. Look, you don't have to be alone. We're trying to do it all together. We're all in the same boat. Nothing's going to happen to you, you know?
There's like words that are ringing a little hollow in her head after that last fight. She's just like...
Well, what is that, though? You got so mad at me for running away. Why were you angry at me for running away? It's what I do. I need distance to fire. You came at me real hot, Mari. Like, way too hot.
I had just had somebody try to club me to death.
Yeah, so have I. I got breathed on and I killed two of those creatures.
You're
not alone here.
I know I'm not alone, but this is a thing that you do. You have experience doing these things. You're adventurers. You were an assassin. You have all of this stuff. I am not.
Look, you did it with Jack too, when he retreats in a fight and when I pull back, do you have abandonment issues? Are you worried that we're going to leave you?
I just think that you work as a team. You don't just take off and hide alone behind a tree and just start firing at it from a distance. You work as a team. You speak of working as a team. You speak of being brothers. And yet this style, this way of working, it feels...
But
it doesn't... I don't know. I don't understand it.
I don't understand how else we'd work as a team. I mean, that's what we did. We all took them down. We worked as a team during the Midnight Carnival fights. Some of us were in the rafters. Some of us were putting their lives on the line, seducing women. Red, like, points hard to his chest. I mean, I could have been slaughtered out in that street with one fell swoop, and there was half an hour I was alone. Where do you get off saying that I ran away from you? Sometimes, yeah, we move back to gain the advantage. You know, I give Jack a hard time, but, yeah, he makes a smart call tactically during most battles, and gets to a vantage point that is advantageous to all of us.
I know, I...
Look, you and I pulled back during that stone giant fight with a big mud pool. We were 200 feet from everyone else.
I know. It's there is this moment in the fight where I looked out and I was just by myself and there is just so much happening and... All I could think for the split second, which is, it's so silly, but I really missed my sisters. I really did. And whenever we'd be out, if we would be, you know, any sort of magic stuff, we would cast together. And it's weird to have been this long without them and to no longer have that sort of connection anymore. It's disorienting sometimes. And there's this sort of feeling... that there's something that I used to have and I don't have it anymore. And hopefully someday when I go back home, I will, but...
Look, fair enough. If you feel like you are alone, I recognize that. That's a fair feeling. I've never had that. I never had this. This is my first version of this. So I recognize why having something maybe even more than this would feel like this is less than that. Does that make sense? Look, I understand. And if you have to take it out on us sometimes, or if you feel like you are abandoned at times, I recognize why that impulse comes across. But hear this. We are not going to abandon you. If we make the tactical decision to pull back and fire in a distance, or if Jack decides to poof out of existence and get to a different position so we can fireball everybody, or even Doran thunder waves and moves to another position, I promise you, it is never at the cost of forgetting that you are part of this. And personally speaking, three sisters next to each other tactically is a terrible idea. Really should diversify on the battlefield.
Okay. Mari, have a sip of this wine, because we're in Dwarven territory. I think we can all acknowledge we have not been our best selves today. Maybe not yesterday either. But we're on the steps of Scarborough, Doran's home he hasn't been to in an awful long time. How long, Doran?
Well, he's just counting his fingers. 30-odd years, I'm pretty sure.
How many fingers do you have?
Every time we ask, Doran, it gets bigger, bigger, and bigger.
Oh, God.
I've actually never been to Scarborough before.
The hell is this?
Let's go meet Doran's parents, find out what an authentic dwarven bed in an inn is like.
Probably bland.
And try the stew. Because I don't have a lot more energy for the level we've been bringing today. There's too much life and death going on, and
yeah.
Now listen, I could hear some of that conversation walking up with Elster.
Eavesdropping.
That's right.
How dare you?
That's right, Jack. Now listen here.
Yeah.
Where's the bingo card?
I got it.
I almost said Rob.
I want you to know something, Mary, and you, Red, and you, Jack, too, and you, Elster.
All right.
But to a lesser effect, okay? Only because, you know, I think you still want to go home. We're all alone at one point or another in our lives. But right here and right now, I look at each one of you and I see someone that I can trust.
And he doesn't necessarily point at Alistair because he's really talking to the other three. But, you know, he doesn't want to disinclude Alistair.
Listen, you're all people that I trust. And I hope that you trust me. Because we are a team. And whether you believe it or not, we do rely on each other. So, I'm going to rely on you three to keep my head above water when we reach Scarborough, which I don't think is very far from here based on the color of these walls.
So, if we have our head on a swivel, what are we looking out for when we get to Scarborough? What are you most worried about? Like any other challenge, what's our game plan here?
Crime?
Well,
drugs?
I don't know. I don't know how much has changed. I don't know who's still here.
I mean, 30 years, that's fair.
I mean,
but the dwarf years.
It could be the same crowd that when I left.
You mean like dwarf years? Like he's got dog years? Like every seven dwarf year is one of ours?
But dwarves live a lot longer than.
I feel like that would mean they would change a lot more because they get bored. You know what I mean? Like every year a new facelift.
I mean, I don't. You know, to be fair, that's my own assumption. I don't mean to suggest that dwarven culture is static like stone. That might just be something I've picked up somewhere along the way.
Hey, I don't know shit about shit. That's just giants.
If we're talking about this now, I might as well get it out. You know, I don't really want to run into Kenjad or Grundag because, you know, they were other officers in our unit, and, you know, they were instrumental in really driving me out of Scarborough, and they love to, they're two that I don't really, if I run into, I might need some saving. And then, of course, there's my mother, because I definitely need to see my mother.
What's your mom's name?
Morin.
Her name is...
What's her name?
Dorina.
Yes.
And she talks like this!
Dorina. I like it.
Is it actually? Or just come up with that
we
now?
Should go with it. We should go with it. Dorina.
Good.
Spelt Doran with an A.
They are not creative.
But Doreen is a name.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like Doreen of Scarborough.
It's just two E's instead of an I. Doreen.
This is my no, that sounds too...
Doreen so Iron much. Fist is...
It's
It's so beautiful. She's got a beautiful steel apron.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it.
Plus, I can already hear the after credits song. Doreen, Doreen, Doreen,
Doreen.
Your son is coming on here back to town.
Please don't take my son.
All right.
There's also my mother, Doreen.
Oh.
And...
Right?
I'm gonna have to see my mom. I don't really need you guys to help me with the conversation, but I might need to rely on you to allow me to vent about my mother at some point, because Doreen is her own... She's her own woman, I'll tell
you. Hey, whatever you need, Doreen, you know that we're gonna be here for you. We want this to be as good as it can be, you know?
Let's just get in there, and you know what? If push comes to shove, you know what? We can open that jack of worms when we get there.
Do you have inspiration, Alex?
I do.
Right before Doreen does his little thing and Mari's sort of watching, and she locks eyes with Red again, and she just takes the longest hammer off that wine skin. She just slams it back.
Whoa.
She needs it. Just give her this. And she hands it back, and then she gives him a hug.
Oh.
Which is not something she's done for. And also when she does that, there's this light warmth, and she casts one more healing spell.
Oh. Thanks, Mari.
It heals your heart.
Oh, it heals your friendship.
Oh.
And also 13 HP.
And as you're hugging Red, you feel him squeeze back and hug back.
Aw.
You're right that tactically four druids together is a terrible idea, but we never really had to fight much.
But it would look damn cool.
It would. It looks great.
Guys, stop talking during our group hug.
Oh, sorry.
I
feel left out here.
Alistair, you want in here?
Is it just you two?
Yeah, come on, Alistair. We've all healed, and by extension, you should feel better, too.
Aw, we do a big group hug?
Yeah.
Stop talking during a group hug is such a line. Yeah. I love it. It's so good.
Once again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Adam Fry, Amanda Kitchener, Amy Garza, Anne, Atholagoth, Cecil Lee Wilson, Jerry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Casey, D.S., Dippity, Elizabeth H., Flynn, Gareth Bradshaw, Haley again, Harper the Marks, Indrid Hartley, Jekyll, J.D., Joy Robinson, Jory, K.R., KM, Cade, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the Left, Lita J, Lizzie Demon, Lorelei Feldman, Matilda Rushing, Melinda Curley, Moon, Melissa, Merlin, Sam C, Regan, Ren, Ruth Ann Reed, Scotty, S-Ray 96, Tony Pepperoni, Xander Morning Dove, Zephyrus, and Zach House.
Woo!
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.